our 10th lesson on how to pray for your pastors. So we'll close having our prayer time tonight, but if anyone needs, if you lost or you would like a new one, part of our notes for that, if you want to slip your hand up, I believe Brother Alex has them in the back, and he can get those to you real quick if you like one. Otherwise, you can turn in your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And again, if you'd like one of these, copy of the notes, you can just slip your hand up and Alex will get you one. But 1 Timothy chapter number 3, we are, again, this is our 10th lesson. I believe we're going to do 12 of them. But this is our 10th lesson on prayer, and we're looking at how to pray for your pastors. If you remember, we talked about the importance of prayer and praying because a pastor must, it is of necessity that they have a strong prayer life. A pastor is going to be busy, and the devil would love to use that busyness to keep a pastor from spending the time that he ought to on his knees and in prayer to the Lord. And so I again, I know I taught the lesson, but I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers that myself, Brother Salih, that we would spend that time with the Lord that is of necessity. I've preached before in my life. I started preaching when I was 16. I've preached having been too busy and not properly spent time in prayer. And the liberty is not there. The leadership is not there. And it is vital. It's vital to stay and have that close walk with the Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and His leading and trying to minister to others. But we looked at, an introduction on the busyness and the unity and decisiveness continually. We started our lesson in some specific areas in which you can pray for your pastors. And we talked, number one, about his supplication. Again, the importance of prayer and the pastor's life. Again, I know we've taught 9 lessons on it, but it's not just for the pastor. Everyone should have a strong prayer life. But a pastor, pray for them that they would have this time of supplication. Pray for a pastor in his studying. The importance of studying the Word of God and to know what the Word of God, rightly discerning God's Word. Doctrine needs to be pure. It needs to be biblical. Pray for your pastor that he would study the Word of God and preach the truth. Not preach his preferences, but preach the Word of God and to stand upon it. Then we talked about his speech and praying for your pastor and that he will be used in his preaching and his teaching and his evangelizing. We talked about the importance of powerful preaching, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. It is not by our own flesh. It's not in our own might. Powerful preaching comes from the Spirit of God. And pray for the Spirit of God to bring powerful preaching. That is, if you're looking at your notes, that He will preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. We talked about how that refers to the fact that He will preach what is convenient to preach, and then also preach what is sometimes inconvenient. In other words, things you know that may be an issue, but it has to be addressed because the Word of God addresses it. I taught this lesson right before I went up to the conference where I was asked to preach on dress standards. And you don't normally make friends when you go somewhere and preach on dress standards, but it's in the Word of God. And we, by God's grace, we had a good meeting, well received, and I praise the Lord for that. And there are some messages that a preacher can't wait to stand up and preach. I'm excited about Sunday morning. I'll be preaching on Mother's Day, on Rufus's mother. I'm excited about that message. Just looking forward to it. But there are other times when I know what the Lord's laid on my heart and directed as we're preaching through the Word of God and different books of the Bible that I know will not be easy. Many times will not be well received. But yet, the Word of God needs to be preached. And let God be true and every man a liar. And just pray for your pastor, because sometimes it's not easy to preach certain things. It just isn't. I think some people think a pastor loves getting up and making people mad. All right? He doesn't. All right? there's great anxiety many times before he preaches certain messages, and then there's great anxiety when he leaves the pulpit, wondering what's going to be said. But a preacher that is Spirit-led will just preach the truth, no matter what. Preach the truth with grace. We talked about that. Number three, that he will not only speak the truth, but do it in love, with a gracious heart. And not seeking to be a brawler, which we're about to talk about, that he will reprove. Number four, and rebuke. Pray that your pastor will preach against sin. Preach against sin. Every pastor that's what he should be in the eyes of the Lord will take a strong stand against sin. Pray that he will exhort, a passionate plea for personal active response to preaching. Pray that he will exhort the church and encourage them and see a change in all of our lives. That he will preach with all long-suffering. That means being faithful and patient in his preaching. And of course, number seven, with doctrine, that he would preach the truth. And it's one thing that we probably lack today in many of the Lord's churches, unfortunately, is strong doctrinal preaching. I listened to a man preach not too long ago that preached about 30 minutes, and 20 of it was about current events and things going on, and there wasn't a whole lot of Bible. There wasn't a whole lot of doctrine, and when you left the place, you kind of wondered what he just preached on, and that's unfortunate. We need the Bible. We need doctrine. We need meat. We need milk, but we need meat. We need to grow. But pray that there will be doctrine there. Then we talked about letter B. It would be perfecting, working, and edifying, and teaching. Again, pastors preaching and teaching should be used for the perfecting of the saints. That is the maturing, the growth. I thank the Lord, and it's not because of Travis Burke, all right? I thank the Lord this church has a good heritage of good pastors who have taught the truth, who have stood for the truth. And I was very blessed to inherit a mature church, a church that is strong in the faith, that loves strong preaching, that desires truth. And that is a huge blessing. And part of a pastor's responsibility is to continue preaching and establishing a maturing in the saints and something instilled in the hearts of the church members that they want strong preaching. I was kind of encouraged when our young people left the service Sunday that, you know, they one of them said, you know, to the fact that, you know how they missed, some of the preaching here at Kazadell, because there's substance to it. There's, you know, and again, I'm not promoting, you know, Travis Burke. Do not misunderstand it. I'm talking people who stand behind this pulpit. We try to have people that will help us, that will not entertain us. There's too much entertaining going on, all right? I'm all for a good joke. I'm all for a good laugh. But this pulpit is not a comedy routine. It should be somewhere where we are taught and fed and we grow in the Lord. And so we seek that, and I praise the Lord for it. Also for the work of the ministry. We prepare people to do the work, to serve God, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then we ended up there at the top of page number three, that his speech would be used for bold evangelism, that he would seek opportunity. There would be a door of utterance open. Look for souls to be a witness to and have boldness, that he would open his mouth boldly and clarity to make known the mystery of the gospel, that he would present the word of God clearly. Then it brings us to number four. We need to pray for the pastor's standards. And again, I'm not just talking about the music he listens to in the dress. We always just jump at that as standards. I mean the God-given standards that God gave to a pastor. Look in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Start reading with me in verse number 1. And you'll see some of these standards that God gives here for the pastor. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Look over real quick, just a few pages, to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 6. Titus 1, and in verse number 6. Again, talking about the pastor. It says here in Titus 1, and verse number 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So a pastor has these qualifications or these standards by which he should meet to be a biblical pastor. And again, the Word of God is true. And we live in a world today, unfortunately, where many people are ignoring these, but God's Word has not changed. And these things should be followed if we're going to be biblical. And so we ought to pray for these things. You say, why? Because a pastor can become disqualified. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're in for life, right? I heard one person say who a pastor, unfortunately, who should not be a pastor today, who's pastoring in the Cincinnati area, unfortunately, it breaks my heart to say it, but the man had an immoral relationship. And his marriage broke up. And his reason for staying in the pulpit was, quote, the calling of God is without repentance. In other words, if God called me, I never should turn away from that. Well, if you disqualify yourself according to the Word of God, yes, you should step down. Amen. Again, I'm not mad at anybody, but God's Word is true. And I only say that to say this, you need to pray for your pastors. On my prayer list, I have many things listed, but towards the bottom of my prayer list, I have the word pastors written there. And I pray for our area pastors, friends of mine, and even those who I've never even met that I know are pastoring in this area. I pray for them, because when a pastor falls, it causes great harm to the cause of Christ. It can destroy a testimony of God before a community. It will destroy a church so easily. And I've seen it, unfortunately, in my life. I've grown up in church. I went to church, as you know, when I was 5 days old. I've been in church, good, solid churches all of my life. And I praise the Lord, I've not had a pastor personally that's fallen into sin, but I've seen and known of many. And it should break our heart. And what it should do is cause us to pray for these men. Pray that they would stand. Pray that they would be what they ought to be. Again, I listed here many of these standards. I didn't list all of them, because personally, I believe the first qualification there in Timothy is a desire. If a man desire the office of a bishop, God will plant that desire in the heart. Someone that doesn't want or doesn't feel like, you know, that's not their life should not get into the ministry. The Bible teaches, I just read it in my personal devotions and Psalms, that He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean everything I want, God, poof, going to give it to us. It means He changes the desires in our heart. For instance, I just told you I surrendered to preach when I was 16. My goal in my life, what I wanted to be, was a history teacher. I just love history. That's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to do with my life. I planned to go to college. I was going to get my degree. I was going to teach history, study history. If everything worked out in my perfect dreams, I would be an archaeologist and find amazing things, right? That was my thought process when I was a young person. That's what I wanted to do. But God changed the desire in my heart. I realized soon, by the time that I was 16, that there was nothing else I could want to do in my life other than preach the Word of God. I knew that that's what God wanted in my life, and I surrendered to that. So I believe there ought to be a desire there. But we're praying about things that can be affected, all right? Number one, you'll see blameless. It doesn't mean the pastor's perfect, all right? No such thing. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, he doesn't exist. Because even the best of men our men at best, all right? We still do with flesh. They're going to make mistakes. But the word blameless means this, that they have a testimony of righteousness. They have a testimony of holiness. The world and others will not look at them and be able to point a finger and say, that person is a liar, cheater, thief. Right? They've lived a life, a blameless life that people can't. Now, people will say stuff all the time, but it won't stick because it isn't true. Right? And people know the truth. So, blameless. The husband of one wife. Pray for the marriage of your pastor, him and his wife. I'm just telling you, I've seen more than one in my life. Pastor and her wife end up in a divorce. And it breaks up that home and disqualifies that man. Pray for your pastor and his marriage. You ought to pray, and I mean this with all my heart, pray every day for Stacy and I. Now, we have a great marriage. We adore each other, all right? We love each other. Praise the Lord for it. But I'm not naive. The devil would love to destroy our marriage. So pray. Pray for that. Pray for he would always be the husband of one wife and love that wife dearly. That he'd be vigilant, on guard, sober, control his mind. A pastor's mind is under attack constantly. And, you know, and not just, you know, so to say, you know, like what, wicked thoughts? I mean things like, I mean, as simple, this may sound so foolish to many people, but it's just reality, right? No one cares. No one loves you. You're making no difference. The devil plays with your mind. The devil loves to be, he's a whisperer. And sometimes people do things, and a pastor in his flesh will get upset at it, and the pastor has to control that. I mean, there's been multiple times, I've been a pastor now, 2004, 14 years, you know, there's been multiple times that I've, you know, seen something on, maybe on Facebook, right, or heard something, and my flesh gets mad. How could they do that, right? They're a member of our church, right? How could that person say that? And your flesh begins to get mad, but you have to control that. You have to learn to control your thoughts and handle things in a biblical manner. But to be sober, to control your mind, of good behavior, you act right. And Titus says, a lover of hospitality, loves people. A pastor has to love people. Guess what? Sometimes people aren't easy to love. And I'm not saying about me to you. We all know that, right? Sometimes, right? But a pastor has to be a lover of hospitality, love people, be a lover of good men. In other words, a pastor better surround himself with good, solid influences. All it takes is one bad friend. Someone can be led astray. By God's grace, may we continue to only preach truth, right? All it takes is one wrong friend whispering to mess up truth. So pray, a lover of good men, apt to teach, love to teach and have the ability to teach, not given to wine, to stay away from alcohol, no striker. Pray for your pastor, and he doesn't walk around trying to deck people, right? I've seen him. not greedy of filthy lucre, not in it for the money's sake, greedy, covetous. Pray that he's patient. Pray that he's not a brawler. That means always trying to pick a fight. You know, I'll go back to the Facebook thing, right? My flesh, even my spirit sometimes, right, wants to correct the world, right? I see things many times, it's like, and they challenge, right? They always challenge you, right? You know, this type of dress is fine. This type of music is fine. I don't care what people are saying. And they're talking about us kind of people, right? And my flesh says, let me tell you why it's all right, you liberal, right? That's what I want to say. But I don't, right? You'll not find me. I don't do it. I don't get in debates on social media, right? Because that's casting your pearls before the swine, I believe, right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not gonna. You wanna? All I'm concerned about. I'm not gonna correct anybody out there. I'm concerned about my family, and my church. Now, everybody else, they're going to stand before God. They already know what I stand for, so I don't have to say much, right? But the fact is this, you know, I have to guard it, not just on outlets like that, but you can't go around looking for a fight. A pastor can't do that. You know, trying to get in some argument and get into an argument, a fight, you know, that's not what a pastor should do. Not self-willed, not soon angry. Not covetous, just, holy, temperate, one who rules his home and his children well. And I'll leave my family right. Please pray for that. Now again, I'll say this again, having grown up as a preacher's child, right? Preacher's children are not perfect. You know, you don't look at them and say, oh, you know, I shared, I think, last time I preached how that Grace was wicked when she was 3 and stole a piece of candy from the gift shop at the hospital, right? You know, that doesn't disqualify me, right, from being a pastor. My children are going to sin, just like their father and mother sin, just like everyone else in this auditorium sins, right? The question is not whether they're sinless. The question is sin being addressed? Is sin being handled? Are they being corrected? Are they being disciplined? Are they being taught what's right? I mean, I'm not naive, all right? You know, I guarantee that my kids have said things they should not say. Shame on them. I guarantee my children have done things they should not have done. But so have I, and so have you. The fact is, when I know of these things, I will try my very best to correct it. And I want to lead my family in what's right. Pray for that, because that's a constant battle, as all of you know. But I also say this too, all right? It's a scary thing, because again, a pastor in the office that he's in, if the devil can get into a family, he doesn't just destroy that family, but many times he hurts many others in the church at the same time. I, my wife, our marriage, and our children have a spiritual target on their back. So I covet your prayers and pray for leadership, that I'll rule my house and home well. Not a novice. Again, I don't think that's something you can lose, but we pray that's a standard a pastor should have, and that, you know, they should be mature in the faith. They should know the Word of God. You know, someone that, Lord willing, it'd be a wonderful thing, someone walks the aisle Sunday and gets saved. Amen. That person, if he does walk the aisle and get saved Sunday, shouldn't be pastoring a church next Sunday, right? They got to grow in the faith. Because the devil loves to trip up the novice, because there's many avenues he can do that with. One who holds fast the faithful word, using sound doctrine to exhort and convince gainsayers. Pray for your pastor that he would continue to be faithful to the Word of God, that he would only preach sound doctrine, and that he would, those who would hear his preaching and disagree with it, that he would be able to spiritually correct them and point them in the right direction. You know, almost every week, you know, there'll be someone who maybe doesn't agree with something that I said. You know, and I understand that, and a pastor can't get offended at that, but what he has to do is continue to have a heart to where he desires that they would come to the truth, and that we continue being able to give the truth. And there's a balance there. And pray for your pastor on that. A pastor wants to give the truth, and he will debate for the truth. Understand what debate is. Debate is two people seeking the truth. That's what debate is, all right? This is a kind of a big deal, so get this. Debate is two people seeking the truth. An argument is two people trying to prove their point, all right? I will debate with someone all day long. As long as both of us are trying to come to a knowledge of the truth, awesome. The heart will be right, the spirit will be right, but when two people are saying, no, I'm right, I'm not, as a pastor, going to continue going down that road. Well, a man convinced of his will, against his will, is of the same opinion still, right? If they don't want to hear the truth, they're not going to hear the truth, right? And so we have to continue having that right kind of heart. W, of a good report without, that the lost world around would know the pastor to be of a good report. If I lose my testimony with the community, if you read in the Blanchester newspaper, right, next week, I don't think we have a newspaper, but if we had a newspaper, no, Wilmington does, but if we had a newspaper and you read, you know, local area pastor Travis Burke gets caught in a, with a DUI, right, driving down Route 68, I just destroyed a testimony for the cause of Christ, for myself, for my family, for this church. And it does great harm. Our area in this community is not immune to this. We've seen it where pastors have fallen and done things that are foolish and immoral, and the news media loves to jump on that. I mean, they just love jumping on that and making that into a huge story. And you know, truth is truth, but it causes great harm to the cause of Christ. So pray. Pray to always have a good testimony without. It doesn't mean the world's going to love you. Matter of fact, quite the opposite. You know, they won't like many things we preach and stand for. But it doesn't mean I can't have a good testimony. While they may not like what's being said and preached, may I live a life that demands respect. Again, not me, just, you know, Travis Burke, but every child of God should live that kind of life. That while they may not agree with you, they may not even like you, but your life demands a level of respect because you're honest, character, integrity. That should be our life. And you've heard me say this many times from this pulpit. Every member of Cazado Baptist Temple ought to be one of the hardest working employees at wherever you work. Your boss ought to know I can trust him, I can count on that person, they're going to do their job and they're going to do it right. Amen. You've got to strive for that. It's the testimony of the Lord. All right, so pray for their standards. We'll go on number 5. Pray for your pastor and his shepherding. Turn over to Acts chapter number 20 real quick. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 28. Acts 20 and verse number 28 says this. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. Pray for your pastor as he is an under-shepherd. Pray for his shepherding. Pray that, number one, pray for his leading. Pray for your pastor as a shepherd, that he will emulate the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he will... I taught this morning with our high school out of Psalm chapter number 23 and all the great benefits in Psalm chapter 23. I mean, I challenge them, and I'll do the same with us tonight. What child of God would not want all the blessings of Psalm 23? I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I what? To be able to know that God's going to take care of us, that he will lead us to green pastures, beside the still waters, will be fed and nourished and have peace, our soul restored, led in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though we even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. To have fear removed from our life and God's presence to be real, for thou art with me. To have his rod and his staff to correct us and to direct us in our life. To have our cup running over and goodness and mercy with us every day of our life. I mean, which of us would not want that? But the only way we can have that, and this is where I challenge the kids, you have to walk with the shepherd. We're sheep. I mean, all those things are for us as sheep. But when we stray away from the Lord, when we do not walk with the Lord, then we wonder why these things aren't in our life. It's not that God ever fails us. We're the ones that drifted. We're the ones that go astray. And so if we want all these blessings, which I think everyone does, walk with the Lord. Have a walk with the Lord daily. Draw close to Him. Well, we ought to pray just in those same blessings that are there. Pray for your pastor that they will emulate the chief shepherd in these things. They'll feed us. They'll give us the Word of God. The water of the Word of God will flow, and it will give us peace. He'll lead us in righteousness and teach us holiness from the Word of God. Deliver us from the fear of death and the fears of the world. That we would get and our cup would overflow every time. Pray for the pastor in his role in leading. Pray for the pastor in his role in feeding. Pray for them as a chef, if you will, as they prepare and present God's the Word of God to be esteemed more necessary than our food, Job said. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, let me read that verse to you real quick if you want to jot it down. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 2, talking about the pastor again, it says this in verse number 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort," verse number 2, "feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, but feed the flock of God which is among you." Pray, again we already talked about it, so I don't have to preach on it long, but pray for your pastor that he will have spent time in the Word of God, that he can give to the church what the church needs to grow, to mature. It's one of the things that the Lord really spoke to my heart early when I became a pastor, is the importance of just preaching through the Word of God. And, I preach other styles of sermons. This is a topical sermon. But I always try at all times to be preaching through a book of the Bible, because we need to know God's Word. We need to know and rightly discern and divide the Word of God. And so we try to do that. So pray, because it takes a lot of study. A lot of study to prepare. I preach it through books like 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter number 12 in our 1 Corinthians study, right? There is so much error being taught from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I mean, probably if you went and got 9 or 10 commentaries on 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 10 of them are going to be wrong. I'm just telling you, right? Everybody loves the universal church, and everybody misinterprets 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And, it's hard. You know, and it takes a lot of study. And praise the Lord for good people out there writing. I'm not saying no one is, right? But a pastor has to study. Has to get into things and study the Word of God to be able to present the Word of God so that we all can grow. Then pray for his heeding. Pray for them as he shields, as he protects from grievous wolves. The devil loves to come in as a roaring lion, the Bible says. Matthew talks about how there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and a pastor has to discern, beware. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a family that joined our church at Marine Heights Baptist Church where I grew up. And this guy came in, and everybody just loved this guy and his family. Such personality. I mean, just, you know, it was just like, wow, this is the greatest blessing to our church. But it wasn't long. My grandpa, I remember sitting, we were at his house, and we were having dinner one day, and he said, "There's something not right." And I looked at him, I was like, that guy's awesome, right? And within the next few months, that guy caused a major problem in the church. And a pastor needs to be discerning, to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing, to be careful that the devil doesn't sneak in, bring false doctrine. The devil would love to send someone, you know, bring in errors of like Calvinism and things like that. We got to be careful. The world's music, got to be careful and guard against these things. To the conclusion, we're done. Number one, praying for your pastor is commanded. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2, it tells us to pray for all those in authority. And according to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 13, your pastor is an authority in your life. Again, he's not a dictator. 1 Peter clearly says that. We're not lording over God's heritage. But he should be looked at as an authority in your life, someone to be respected and followed, and we're to pray for them. Number two, praying for our pastor is constructive. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13, which I just referenced, we're to follow their faith. Whose faith follow? We need to pray that they have a faith that we can follow. Pray that they would continue to hold the line, that they would live a life that can be followed. And number three, praying for our pastor is compulsory. There are far too many independent Baptist pastors who fall. The main areas that they fall, I'm not trying to be funny either, right? The main three areas where you see pastors falling is in doctrine. Pray their doctrine stays true. In dames, get messed up with, as Proverbs says, with a strange woman. And in today's world, it's not just going and meeting someone. There are so many avenues of which wrong relationships can be built. We need to pray for your pastor to always be protected, and in dollars. That love of money is the root of all evil. Pray that they would not be blinded by those things. So pray for your pastor. Pray that they would stay right and holy. Again, I don't like preaching messages that focus on the pastor because it seems in my mind to come across as being prideful or self-centered. It's not. I hope you know my heart. I think you do. But these things are biblical, and I covet your prayers. My wife covets your prayers. My family covets your prayers. And I know she was somewhat jesting, but at the same time somewhat being truthful. Before we came over, I was talking to my family in my office, my wife and daughters, and Grace said, please tell people to pray for our family. And I agree. Please pray for our family. And just pray. God would keep a hedge, and that God would protect, and that God would bless. And Lord willing, we'll look at the next area. I've got two more we're going to cover here and how to pray. So, but let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll have a verse of invitation, and then we will close our service with a time of prayer.